Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Yes, Simon Tierney has popped in with his how to do stuff. Today, Simon, you're going to be teaching us how to speak American.
Shane, how are you? I'm sure you're an old hand at it at this stage after a few days over in America. How is your going?
Simon, I did a Vox within about a half an hour of arriving and I was like, excuse me, sir and ma'am. I was ma'aming and sirring everybody within like, I'd say 10 seconds.
He does anything to fit in, Simon. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or get a Vox done.
That's great. And I hope you were dropping your double consonants and, you know, dropping your adverbs and all the rest. It's essential. Well, the reason we're talking about this, guys, is because there was an op-ed in the Washington Post, that esteemed newspaper of the town that you're in there, the other day. And it was written by Doug Burgum. Not Doug Burgum. It was written by the former advisor to Doug Burgum, who is the Secretary of the Interior. So a man of some influence. And
Rob Lockwood, isn't it?
Rob Lockwood. He is arguing, guys, that the Trump administration should adopt a new national language, that it shouldn't be English anymore. The king's English, the king is in town. It should be American. Now, few problems with this, of course. The first being that American isn't a language. At any stretch of the imagination, we could perhaps call it a dialect. English is the root language, of course. But he believes that American is the dominant evolution of English, and that it should be used as the Trump administration as a way to, I suppose, unify the country in this, the 250th anniversary of independence. He also argues that ours is better, that American is a better form of the English language. And one of the things that he uses to back up this idea is that why on earth do the Brits call pants trousers?
That's as good as he can get.
He also describes it as a relic of the regime. There's a strand in America, in American thought, I think, that kind of has a chip on its shoulder about the fact that their country was birthed by another regime, by a monarchy. And they don't like that. It doesn't conform with American individualism. And
they do quite like the monarchy here. I have to say, as someone who's in town at the same time as King Charles, they're pretty keen.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's they like the pomp and ceremony
they
of
do.
It for sure.
But Simon, this isn't a particularly new argument. I was surprised to hear. So this guy, Rob Lockwood, he's not the first person or even the most esteemed person to have made this argument.
No, there's a long history of Americans trying to do this. And it really goes back to Noah Webster. Now, anyone who's studied in America or has found themselves in America will have picked up one of these dictionaries. It's kind of the American answer to the Oxford English Dictionary. But it was started by Noah Webster, an 18th century lexicographer, who was much more than the first man to write the American English Dictionary. In fact, he was a nationalist, really, an American Republican in the sense that, and I mean that in the traditional old sense of the word, that he wanted a language to be a way of, I suppose, expounding Americanism at a time when America was still in its infancy, as a way to separate American identity from their British ancestors.
Moves by Cunard na Gaeilge at the foundation of the state of Ireland to you know, get people back engaged in Irish.
Hang on a second. Irish is a proper language.
Yeah, no, I know, but you can see why that kind of national fervour might take place. Like, there are it is quite different. Like, there are things that drive me up. Can I say this? Because I'm in America. I hope nobody is listening from America. But I hate the fact that they don't use bloody prepositions. Like, oh, it's 2026. No, it's 2026. Do you know what I mean? Why'd you drop the and? Or like they muddle them up. They don't say they speak about things. Oh, that speaks to something. Would you stop saying the wrong preposition? Like,
yeah,
they don't seem to
get
the usage.
Like, it's very funny. Annoying. The prepositions thing is really interesting. Because
yeah.
if you pick up a copy of the Washington Post or New York Times tomorrow morning, you'll notice that in the sports section, for example, they'll say the LA Lakers beat the Boston Celtics Saturday, right? They'll take out the on Saturday. And you'll hear that in news bulletins on the radio and CNN as well.
They do it all the time. Do you know the one that drives me mad as well? He wrote me.
No, oh,
he
yeah.
He wrote to me.
Yeah, he wrote me. Yeah, he wrote to me. Yeah, so there's a whole kind of ditching of prepositions. But just to go back to Webster for a second.
Because yeah, because he's the guy who, he's the reason why we spell like labour without the U, isn't he?
Except for we don't.
Yeah,
well, sorry,
exactly. Have you been writing labour without a U over the last couple
not.
Of days?
He's
Shane?
All about Labour Day now, this and Labour Day that.
No, but he did take the U out.
I'm a man without honour.
Yeah, he took the U out of colour, the U out of honour and all the rest. He also changed ISE to IZ.
That drives me mad. Every time I write anything, autocorrect tries to put Z's all over it for me, and I refuse to go with it.
But you know
it's
what?
It's still
Kara,
an S.
Like, Webster had to be reined in. His ideas were much more revolutionary than the American dialect, so to speak, that we have today. He wanted to change the spelling of women to W-I-M-M-I-N. Not only that, but he wanted to change the word mean, as in, why won't you share your sweets with me? You're so mean, to M-E-E-N.
So he was a phoneticist.
And there was
It sounds a bit like Ulster Scots, doesn't it?
It's funny because... you know, it was years after his death that, you know, his legacy company, the Webster, Merriam-Webster company, had to kind of rein back and go, look, you know, this guy is the famous brand, but we're gonna bring back some of his ideas. This all reminds me, this guy, Rob Lockwood, his ideas remind me of that famous episode of The Simpsons. It's actually a flashback episode. I don't know if you guys remember this, but it's when Barney and Homer are in high school. And Barney shouts over to Homer. He says, Homer, you're late for English class. And Homer says, ah, English. Who needs English? I'm never going to go to England. So there's this whole idea that in America that, you know, this is our language. We don't need the British influence anymore.
Is there an element of truth in that? That we kind of view it slightly, and again, I'm conscious of where I'm sitting and I'm wondering who can hear me, that we see it slightly as dumbing down of the language, but they would see it as kind of an evolution or a revolution simplify it.
Does it go further? Do they just see it as getting to the point quicker?
Well, yeah, I think you've probably hit the nail on the head. It's a kind of an economizing of language, isn't it? Yeah. Like Webster used to always say, well, if I say revolutionize, if I use that word, it doesn't sound like it's spelled with an I-S-E at the end. It sounds like it's spelled with an I-Z-E. So let's economize
quite
it. Let's literalize the language. But at the same time, the root language is English. So, I mean, I can decide tomorrow that an apple is called an orange. It doesn't take away the essential appleness of the apple. It's still an apple, even though...
Invent words. I mean, revolutionize, I'm not sure if that even is a word, but revolutionary is, but they don't, they kind of splice words together that don't even exist, and then they say things all arse ways, like aluminium is aluminum, and no, it's not. Have you looked at how it's spelt?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, there's an argument to be made that language is always cultural and language is always in a process of evolution.
Yeah, true.
And it's vernacular, you know. So who are we to say that, you know, especially that we speak Hiberno English, you know.
Yes.
In our country, we speak a dialect of English as well. And we celebrate that and we're glad that we don't necessarily speak the King's English.
isn't in set in Aspic. Do you know what I mean? It isn't preserved. It constantly evolves.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, we can't negate history and we can't negate the facts. I mean, this is a classic example of alternative facts, to quote the first Trump administration.
Now known as fake news.
Yeah, I mean, English is the language. You can't say that it's American. I mean, this would be like the Colombian president tomorrow saying that the national language of Colombia is Colombian. But of course, we all know it's Spanish. It's a dialect of Spanish.
Mind you, of course, places like Mexico, etc., speak Spanish a little bit like the Americans speak English. That's a kind of a dialect as well, isn't it?
Sorry, have you mentioned the lack of adverbs? I know we did the lack of prepositions.
Oh, God, don't get me started. Right, I'm glad we have a bit of time for this. Right, now, George Bush used to be big on this. I always remember during his administration. Let me give you an example, just because it's a little, you know, just so that our listeners understand exactly what I'm talking about here. The Americans, for some reason, do not like using adverbs. An adverb describes a verb, an adjective describes a noun, and they use adjectives to describe verbs. You can't do that, lads.
So, give me an example.
Okay, let me give you an example. So in Ireland, we might say, I need to get to work quickly today. For whatever reason. In America, they would say, I need to get to work quick. They take the L-Y off the end of the word.
But quick is an adjective. Say things like, it's you creeping did well. In Ireland. They say, you did good.
Yeah, you did. That is creeping in Ireland, though. I've noticed that.
God, really?
Yeah.
We need to stamp that out. That's like people calling people mom instead of mum. Or ma'am.
I could not agree with you more. You have done good. Thank you indeed. Thank you indeed for that.
You're becoming a Yank, Shane, after a few days over there.
When in Rome, Simon. Simon Tierney, as always, thank you for teaching us how to do stuff. And today, how to speak American.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Simon. I love this text. So funny hearing Irish people complaining about American English. I, a Scot, have the same complaint about the way Irish people speak English. I would have read a lot as a child instead of I read a lot as a child, or I read a lot as a child, or I used to read a lot as a child. And that is just scratching the surface as this unintelligible text that I can't understand because I'm speaking Hiberno English.
I don't. What's wrong with saying either of those things?
I would have read a lot as a child as a conditional tense, whereas we say I read a lot as a child. Why we put in a conditional, and we do that.
Okay.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.